welcome back to another episode of Farmer Soul. It's your host, Kyle. And today, we got another special guest with us. If you can introduce yourself.
Stephen Blakely.
Who?
Tight. That was a little dry. You know, give people a little something. You know, who are you?
Stephen Blakely. I own a company called You Hungry. Operate a couple of restaurants here in the Kansas City area. You know, originally from Memphis.
Okay.
Been in Kansas City about 7 years. So, yeah.
Cool. So, what inspired you to go into entrepreneurship, specifically restaurants?
I think when it comes to entrepreneurship, I actually have a minor in it, in entrepreneurship from school. But I kind of always knew, like, I wanted to do something that was my own, not just to, the cliche, like, be my own boss, but just, like, I had ideas and I wanted to see them like fleshed out in real life. Mm-hmm. Specifically restaurants, you know, I started a company called You Hungry, and originally it was taking like food that you had in your fridge and giving you recipes based on what you had. So naturally, you know, I started working with chefs, started doing pop-ups led to restaurants. So it's kind of one of those things. Started off just, you know, I want to make an app in technology. Mm-hmm. And then led into, okay, I like this hospitality space. Like the food, like what it does for people. Like food in general. And yeah. So naturally led into the restaurants.
That's cool. Yeah. That's cool. So in your experience or in your trial and error with entrepreneurship, what have you learned to gain from the experience?
Woo. I think every day is like a new hurdle, but it's exciting at the same time. Like, I think one of the biggest things is just like anything business wise for me, learning is like it's people. Yep. Like it's people oriented, and especially in restaurants and hospitality, it's all about the people. Like, I think the more and more I do entrepreneurship, the more and more like these cliche phrases become true. Like, oh, you only go as far as your team. And it's like, well, yeah, that's true. So like, if you don't have the right team, it's like, sure, you can have this big vision, but I tell people all the time, like, it's one thing, especially in the hospitality restaurant, to okay, like, oh, I can cook this meal and I cook it for maybe a group of friends, maybe you cook it for 8 people, right, in your home, and that's doing a lot,
right?
But restaurants, when you're open, you know, 5, 6 days, 7 days a week, it's like, how can I do this consistently, day in and day out, with the right team? Mm-hmm. You know, it becomes more logistical. It becomes bigger than just, like, the food, you know? And that's why it's, like, it's the people. And, like, I think it's also how you handle situations. Like, there are things that will go wrong.
Every time.
And there, like, every time there are things that go wrong, it's how will you respond to the situation? You know, it's very easy to freak out, to give up, to blame others, to, like, go down this list of things. It's very easy to do that. But at the end of the day, right, if there's something that you have to solve, like, all the other stuff, you're still going to have to come back to that and face it and be like, okay, well, how do I get through it? And I think I believe everything happens for a reason. And so how are you going to take this lesson and, learn from it, but also, you know, apply it? I think you never go through something, especially in entrepreneurship or just business in general or really anything. Like, I don't think you go through it for yourself.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's maybe meant for you in that moment, but like maybe it's for your future self or somebody else. I truly feel like, especially in entrepreneurship, especially in the hospitality space, like you're going to learn something that you definitely can pass on to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And you should.
Yeah. That's so big. Yeah. I like that. And like you said, it seemed like when everything going right, some go left or some go wrong.
Oh, for sure. Like
every time.
It's, oh, okay, cool, like, things clicking, yep, boom. You'd be like, oh, my goodness.
Lord.
You'd be like, whoa.
Help me. Help me.
Like, actively, yeah. I'm going through a situation like that to where it's like, wow, this is happening in real time. And you're like, huh. And I think because, like, I'll truly say, like, I've been blessed to go through situations. Mm-hmm. So, like, how I respond is sometimes alarming to others that are involved. Yeah. Meaning, like, they're like, are you not pissed like right now? I'm like, or are you not freaking out? Or are you not stressed? And I'm like, I be trying to find, like, I be asking myself, like, how do I really feel, you know? And I'm like, okay, yeah, I feel some type of way, but at the same time, I feel like going down those paths of like, oh my God, I'm so stressed. What am I gonna do? It's like, okay, like that doesn't really help.
Yeah,
I think in it just stresses you out. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, I feel it, but at the same time, I'm like, okay, I can sit with it. I'm gonna sit with it and like analyze it, and I'm gonna be as logical as I can. I'm not gonna ignore my feelings, but only certain things really just like gonna really knock me off my rocker, you know?
Right. Right. I feel that. I feel like too, the more trials and different things you face and go through, it kind of builds that endurance and that resilience.
For sure.
Because in the beginning, it's like, oh man, like this happened, but then afterwards, it's like, you know, I've been through this before or something similar.
Exactly.
Or it's like, knowing you got a team, I can't let them see me sweat. Because if the leader sweats, it crumbles.
Right.
In my experience.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think when, and that's a key thing, like, especially like now that I am leading like larger teams or I'd say more people that are like, this is their career and profession. It becomes more like I have to go through the situation with them, but I also have to lead them.
Yep.
And like leading through adversity, I feel like really teaches you something because if they're freaking out, you're freaking out, everybody's freaking out, okay,
somebody
cool. Like, you know, somebody has to reel it in. Yeah. And, like, I feel like there's a level of just, like, I have always, and I think I, like, always have had this approach of, like, I don't know what I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to go into every situation as, like, yep, got it under wraps.
Yep.
If I don't know and we don't have a solution right there, cool. Like, yep, we've acknowledged it. Yep, we know. Here's the reality of it. Okay, what can we do to work collectively to fix this?
Yeah.
And some things, like, you have to be, and I think one of the biggest things is, like, you have to be okay not being in control. And that is a learning lesson that I learned. But at the same time, like, this game of entrepreneurship, like, you have to be okay with not being in control.
Mm-hmm.
And I think and that even goes back to what I said earlier, like, oh, I want to be my own boss. Like, not like when it comes down to it, you, especially how I think about it, like, I'm a leader. Mm-hmm. I am now like serving my team.
Right.
Right. So like technically they are my boss.
Yeah.
Like they may not view it that way, but I'm very cognizant of it. Right.
Yeah.
Like I can't do what needs to be done without them. So I'm serving them. Like, mm-hmm. they're my boss, if you really look at it. But also it comes back around, like, okay, I'm leading you and I need you to do these things. But, yeah, like, you got to let go of control. Like, that's – I learned that the hard way, and it's a continuance. But I'm like, hey, you got to reach that point of, like, it's not in my control. Like, dealing with situations, especially, like, when you're starting to do bigger projects and maybe, like – you're doing a build out for a restaurant and you have all these people that are bringing your idea to life. You may be stuck with a situation from the city in a permitting department to where you're like, well, I've done all I can.
Yeah.
So you know, I'm gonna wait on the Lord.
Yep.
So
yep.
That's how it comes down to it.
And that's hard. Waiting, like relinquishing control is so hard, especially when I feel like it's something that you feel like you've nurtured, you started, you poured into, because it's like, no, this is mine. Like, I care about it. I'm passionate about it. But I've learned, too, like, when you try to hold on to control more and more, typically it makes the situation worse or it makes you, I don't want to say feel worse, but it puts you in a bad state of mind, so to speak.
For sure. Like, I think when you try to hold on to control, it, I think, and like on the positive side, like it doesn't allow for you to let people in to help you.
Yeah.
Right. Like you don't know it all. Like yeah. that's just natural. And also at the same time, like once you let go of control, like sometimes that's the mental blocker that prevents you from actually like fixing the problem, whatever it may be, because you're so focused on like, oh my gosh, the problem, like I can't do that. And it's like, okay, control. Like again, one of those cliche statements, like control what you can control.
Yep.
And it's like, oh wow, I really see why they say this,
yep.
you know? So yeah, once you let it go, it's like, cool, I've let it go. I realize that I am not in control.
Yep.
And you have to be sound and okay with that.
You gotta be okay with it. Because if not, like, it's only gonna cause more stress and turmoil.
For sure.
And it's just no benefit. So, what is some of the biggest lessons you've learned about leadership and team building? I heard you mention servant leadership, which I feel like is of most importance.
Yeah.
So.
I think one of the biggest things I've learned in leadership is, it's a couple different things. I think there's this concept, and I use it more often these days, like the actual term, but I've always known it as a thing of like this concept called relational equity.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So like that is a key component in like leading your team. I think, not to like toot my own horn, but like I've had people that have worked, you know, with me, for me, for multiple years and in different concepts.
Right.
And I think you have to pour into other people. Like yep. you, as a leader, like they are expecting a certain amount of leadership from you despite their experience.
Mm-hmm.
Now you will find those people that have a natural leadership capability and they step up to the plate without like needing your exact like hands-on leadership.
Yep.
And those are people that stand out, right? And yep. you want to promote them and celebrate them. But I think just understanding your leadership approach can't be the same with everybody.
Yep.
I think great leaders know how to shape shift in a positive way, right? Yep. Like, okay, I may not be able to speak with this person the same way, but my message is the same with both people.
Mm-hmm.
Or meeting people where they're at.
Yep.
I think one of the things I learned early on is sometimes you just need to listen. Like, I don't know, it's kind of like this concept that I would think of like a parent and a child, right? Mm-hmm. Like sometimes the child just wants the parent to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a comforting feeling.
Yep.
I think the same way in leadership, right? As like you're not necessarily looking for a response from the leader right now in that moment, but you want to feel heard.
Just want to be appreciated.
Right.
And I think that was a big thing for me. Because early on, I'm like, okay, let's just get it done. Like, what are we doing? Like, what's the holdup?
Right.
And it's kind of like, yeah, they just want to be listened to.
Yep.
And sometimes it gets extreme. I'm not going to lie. Like, I've had people, you know, crazy situations. I calling me, talking about nothing, right?
Yes. Been
on the phone for 30, 45 minutes, telling me, like, situations that I truly cannot solve,
yeah.
right? But they're just wanting somebody to listen, and they remember that,
mm-hmm.
right? Or if team members are having disputes, right? Or
yep.
they just want you want to listen.
Want to be heard.
So like want to be heard, and so like that was something that I continue to work on and continue to mold. And I think as a leader, that's a true part, because when you are motivating your team, like I think it's like cyclical, right? Like you're pouring into each other. So
yeah.
like you want your pouring to overflow, and then they're pouring, and then it's just like, you know, water's flowing everywhere because everybody's being filled, right? Nobody's
right.
going thirsty.
Right.
But I think when you are pouring from nothing, right? Or you're pouring in somebody there's nothing there. Like, it's just, like, splattering everywhere.
Yep.
You have a problem.
Yep.
Or, this is a new one, is when somebody just takes that cup out of the cycle. Ooh. Right? Ooh, you know,
okay.
Like,
okay.
This all me.
Yep.
Right? I choose to hold this, and I don't want to continue the cycle of pouring.
Right. No reciprocation.
No reciprocation. It's just like, oh.
Another one. Thank you.
I like that. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. Can I get another? Right? It's kind of, like, yeah. So, I guess to answer the question.
Yeah. And I feel like, too, one thing I had to learn is, like, every moment and everybody isn't always looking for advice or a teaching moment. Kind of like when you said the parent and child relationship, where it's like, I didn't come here for a lesson. I came here to vent and move on. Like,
and that's hard. That's hard for me. That is super hard, because I'm like, I don't know. Sometimes people can say, like, I'm a little bit cutthroat, right? Because mm-hmm. I'm just like, cool, all right?
So what are we going to do about
it? You cry? Like, what are we going to do? And sometimes, like, that's tough. You just want, like, my wife, she says all the time, sometimes I just want to tell you something and just let me walk away and let me get it off my chest. And I'm like, okay, cool. That's even a tougher concept. And like with my team, it's kind of like, okay. and sometimes it's time and place, right?
Exactly.
You know, it's kind of like, okay, cool. Cool. You're going to have that, right?
Collect yourself.
Right. Yep. Collect yourself and I'm going to come back.
Yep.
And I'm even more lenient to where, like, you may have a direct disagreement with me, right? And like, okay, cool. Get off what you need to, right?
Yep.
You may be pissed, you may be angry, whatever. Okay, cool. Then we're going to come back around and I'm going to be like, we're going to address it.
Right.
But it's time and place, right? Like,
right.
I feel like that's a key component with everything. Like, as a leader, time and place.
Yeah. That's big. Because I've experienced, I feel like, good leadership, and I've experienced bad leadership where they don't do that. They don't take that approach. And it's almost like they're in check it mode, where it's like, was that the time to do that? You know, or is this really the way you could have said, you know, you could have said that better. You could have done this better. And then you wonder why everybody blowing up or it don't work out. Like, it's too much turmoil sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I think when people immediately want to get, like, as a leader, you immediately want to check somebody mm-hmm. because, like, they're out of line. I think there is, like, a very respectful way to do that, and I think there's a thin line. But sometimes I think when I see that, I think it is ego speaking, right? I think like, as a leader, you picked up offense, and so you're going to respond in offense. And I'm not ignorant of it. Like, I have some people that just, like, did you just say that in the group chat? Right? Like, you know, and you pick up your phone, you're like, oh,
yep, that's me.
Like, I'm typing, I'm like, you know what? How do I respond to this in the correct way?
Yeah.
Right? In the way that is not my first initial thought. But like, checking people, like I'm gonna get you together.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think that's, you know, and I ain't gonna lie, sometimes you gotta leave that in the back pocket for, you know, that one off just you know, there is a certain level of respect, but it's not how you show up every day.
Yeah, I agree. And it can be hard because sometimes I feel like situations or people be trying you, and it's like you'll type it or you'll think it, and it's like, you know, let's reframe, let's rethink. That's because I feel like that's been brought to my attention too, where people are like, oh, you can be kind of mean or you can be kind of cutthroat, and it's like, I don't mean to, but it's, you know, depending on the circumstance or what has to get done, it's like,
oh, you be clapping back.
Yeah. I've been known to do that a little too much. A little too much in multiple leadership roles.
Be nice. I'm finding it.
And I feel like you kind of got to know the person, too. And because some people need that and some people can handle that. Other people is like, oh, that's going to make them cry. Or that's going to make them clam up or whatever. And that don't make them a bad leader. That don't make them a bad person. But you can't approach everybody the same. So I'm learning that.
Hands down.
So, speaking on leadership, I know we both attend the City KC
Church.
Best church in the city. If y'all don't know, pull up.
Hands down.
Three services every Sunday, 8:30, 10:30, 12:30.
Yeah.
So, for the city, what made you want to get involved in the city instead of just attending the services?
Yeah, I mean, this happened like many years ago. I think it's just the conviction. I think through my journey and walking life out as a Christian, mm-hmm. I think I hold this perspective of like, oh, I grew up in church, right? Mm-hmm. And I had this relationship that you could almost describe it as like relationship through my parents' relationship with Christianity, or like, yep. I knew it through this lens, right? Yep. So it was early on, you know, it was a check the box, right?
Yep.
Cool, went to church this week.
Yep.
Better than you.
Aha.
You know, yep. like yep. one yes. of those things, yes. like it's yes. like, oh yeah, like went to church this week, you know. And at a certain point you're like, I don't know. I went through this phase of truly trying to understand these simple words that are used in like Christianity that have big meaning, right? Mm-hmm. So faith, hope, right? Even like revelation, right? Yeah. Like, and I think through revelation or things being revealed to me and having a new light and like, okay, wow, like this makes, not even that it just makes sense to me, but I understand this for my life now. And so it was kind of just going through that process and like, I was like, okay, cool. Like I want to be involved in order to like deepen my walk.
Yeah.
But also being around a Christian community. I ain't gonna yeah. lie. Like whenever there was a church event growing up or people that was there, I was like, y'all are lame.
Yes.
Right. Like yes. lame. You're corny.
Yes.
Like I don't see myself. I was an athlete.
Yes.
I was, you know, and I'm like, dang, bro. Like I remember as younger, I was like, ah, it's going to be hard.
Yeah.
Like, cause I was like,
yeah.
dang, like it seems so dry and so just like corny.
Yes.
And at a young age. And then I was like, you know, I think attending the city and then just being around other people walking life out in a real manner, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like no fluff, no like, you know, all aspects, right?
Yes.
Like not just what Sunday looks like, but what
yeah.
does your week look like? What
yeah.
is real life? When real life situations come up, like how are you responding? And so I say all that to say like, okay, I want to deepen my walk. And
mm-hmm.
so I think I started off in merch.
Okay.
And I was like, cool. Again, at that point, I was like, you know, get in some, you know,
right.
low level. Okay,
right.
merch.
Some low key.
Some low key. Let me get in. And, you know, the church was mobile at this time. And I was like,
mm-hmm.
cool. I can provide input. I feel like this is cool. Like, I enjoyed clothes. And I was like, okay, cool. We can do
mm-hmm.
that. And then from there, you know, getting into leadership at the city, it was... I'll say this, right? It wasn't anything that I necessarily just applied or like asked to be a leadership. I think when you have good leadership, right? Good leadership understands, you know, potential leaders
yeah.
and good leaders. And
yeah.
I think that was something that was seen in me. And so, and kind of molded and cultivated. And
yeah.
so, yeah, that's kind of the long story, but yeah, that's how I got started.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's the same way with me. Like initially I grew up in church all my life in St. Louis, grew up Baptist, and it was a relationship through my parents.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, we went to church every Sunday.
Yeah.
Every Sunday. And we used to go back in for evening service.
Oh.
So we had morning service, and my church was very old school. So we had morning service from 9 was Sunday school. Service started at 10:30. We would get out around 1, we'll go eat dinner, and then we'll be back at 7 for evening service every Sunday.
Wow.
And I remember going up, I was like, I don't want to do this. Like, this is, I'm tired. I got homework. Like, I don't want to do this.
I'm tired of this, Grandpa.
So, but I think, honestly, going to the city, because we went to the city when it was at the gym.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Me and my sister.
Yeah.
And we started, and we was like, okay, it's cool. So we kept coming. And eventually he's like, okay, I like the word. I like the leadership. I like what they're doing with it. And we fell in love with it. And then I feel like serving was on my heart for a long time, but I'm like, I'm not getting involved.
Like, too big.
Yeah, that's too much. That's too much.
Whoa.
That's too much. And then eventually I feel like I couldn't escape the conviction, you know, where it's like, okay, like, I need to do this, you know. So getting involved with the production team, as you see, you know, it's helped me a lot. And I've loved it. I've met a lot of cool people, met you. Yeah. So it's like, and it's deepening my faith as well, you know, where it's like, okay, we're serving God, but we're serving people. We're helping each other. We're learning. We're building relationships. It's like a whole shebang, so to speak. No. So I'm truly loving it.
For sure. I think there's this group of people that are in that same bucket of like, oh, my relationship through Christianity is like through my parents. And so you almost relearn like things in your walk. I can't say that you was in the traditional Baptist.
Southern Baptist.
My mom, we started off there and then we kind of went to a little bit more, you know, modern church, if you will. Mm-hmm. But it was just kind of like all that I knew was through my parents. I feel like there's a lot of people out there. Like I know there's more buckets, but I know two buckets of just like Christians walking it out is like there's this bucket that knew it from that's all they knew, right? And then they have this new relationship, and then there's just like people that just, you know, just found Christianity or just, you know, found their relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
I think that's cool because I think like there's things you learn from just everybody in the body of Christ, but like it's very cool interacting with both those groups.
Yep. And I think too, a lot of people it's really the whole thing is a personal walk with God. Yep. And I feel like I learned that once I got to college, because at first I'm like, yeah, I know God. Like, I grew up in church, you know, we was baptized as kids. We was baptized in the Mississippi River.
Oh, wow.
I didn't hear that.
So traditional. Oh, wow. Yeah, you know, diggy boy, mother boy. Like, we was traditional. And I'm like, I know Mississippi. God.
Yeah,
Mississippi. And I'm like, we know God, you know. And then when trials or different things would come up, I really couldn't quote a scripture. I really couldn't. I'm like, okay, where is my faith? You know, what is faith? What is obedience? Kind of like you said earlier. And I think going through it myself and almost like relearning that process helped me to see that, where it's like, yeah, you can grow up in church, but that doesn't mean you truly know God.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. No, so, I was in that bucket.
Yeah.
It's like, dang, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, I serve every other weekend, you know, little community service. Like, I'm good. What you mean? And you realize you're not.
Yeah, for sure.
So how has being a part of the city shaped, I mean, we spoke on faith, but shaped your leadership, shaped how you approach business, approach life?
Yeah, I think the way that I think business is biblical, right? So, like, when you think about it, there's just a lot of aspects from walking out your Christian walk, and even furthermore in leadership, that stem directly from the Bible, right? Like, if you think about it, like, the disciples, like, these were businessmen, right? Like, they were fishermen. The analogies, just like having a strong foundation, right? Yeah. That's a core thing, right? If you think about businesses, having a core system and foundation in order for you to build upon, right? When people like build things very fast, they take 2020, COVID, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody had a business.
Yeah.
And, you know, trucking was hot, right?
Got crazy.
People was building it quick, right? Yep. It wasn't a strong foundation, right? Yep. It slipped away, right? And I think the same thing with just any aspect of business. Like, if you think about Jesus was a carpenter. I have a little bit of a real estate background. So, like, but carpentry is very intricate and detail oriented, right?
Yeah.
And you think about, like, okay, this is how he was, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how true this is, so don't quote me. But if you think about it, Jesus was a carpenter, right?
Yeah.
Maybe in some aspects he was a businessman too, right? Yeah. Like, he was doing carpentry work for, you know, this building, right?
Right.
But he was detailed, right? Yeah. He, you know, and I think that's that aspect. But then you go further and just, like, how you show up with people, that's even deeper.
Yep.
And then even further, specifically in my space, it's, like, hospitality.
Yep.
Right? Like, Triune, the restaurant, like, we say the space is servicing you, right? Mm-hmm. Triune comes from Triune God, right? Meaning the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, which are one,
time
right?
Time to pay the business. So it's
in there. It's intertwined, right? Mm-hmm. And so I believe that should be doing business biblically, right? Yeah. Like, there's so many principles from that. Like, knowing that and tying that to leadership, like, I feel like leadership becomes leadership across the board, right? Now, obviously, in leadership at the city, like, it's heavy on the people.
Yeah.
I could say the same about hospitality, but it's even deeper, right?
Like,
for the city, you know, as a leader, one of my goals is to walk with you in your faith walk, right? Mm-hmm. Like, just because I'm a leader, like, we both taking this Christian walk, right?
Right.
So my goal is to walk with you as long as you walk with me, right?
Right.
And it's like this discipleship that happens. At the same point in business, I'm not going to throw, like, oh, Jesus in your face, right?
Right.
And I think, like, when I was doing Triune, it was like, okay, everything in the world is negative or just, like, leads us further from our walk is such in your face.
Yep.
It's in your face. And it can be subliminal or whatever. I was like, let's flip the script, right?
Yep.
Let's be subliminal in how I'm approaching you with, like, trying. I'm going to be subliminal in how we walk it out, right? Yep. Be like, cause you to question, dang, why do they do that? Or, dang, why is he like that? Or, like, you know? And just, mm-hmm. like, I feel like it opens up the door for conversation. Or, you know, even, why are you so calm? Why are you so stressed out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or why are you not stressed out? Mm-hmm. It's like, I serve a pretty big God. Like, big, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like, you need to be thinking big, right? Like, right? That's legit the thing. And it's like, leadership for me is like leadership because it all stems from a biblical foundation.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
And I feel like that leadership in business is you're providing a service,
mm-hmm.
and you have to serve. Like, it's that simple. And I feel like for me with the podcast initially, because when I originally told my family and friends I was starting a podcast, their first reaction was, oh, nah, not you. Like, we don't need no more podcasts. But when I told them, I said, no, it's not what was already out there. It's not no typical podcast. It's three pillars: faith, pharmacy, Black excellence. And faith was always, it's the biggest pillar and it's first because really this is God's. Like, this is his, he set it up. But it's like, I want to lead with God in everything that I'm doing, whether it's my profession in pharmacy and caring for patients or having, you know, highlighting anybody on the platform.
For sure.
Showing that we all can do great things through God.
Yep.
And he enables us to do those things.
Exactly.
Because honestly, once you get off kilter with God, that's it. Yeah. I feel like it kind of starts to take a downward spiral, or you start mixing things of the world. You get off the purpose. You lose the mission.
Exactly.
And that's not what we're here for. So
can't lose the mission.
Yes. So building off a little bit of leadership, but going into faith. Mm-hmm. So both of us are part of D9 organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, you know, especially recently, you know, you have the denouncing and everything else. Do you feel
spicy?
Yeah. Do you feel like, or what is your view on faith and spirituality in Greek life?
There's so many different thought processes behind this. My parents are Greek, right?
Mm-hmm.
My mom, she would fall into that category of like, oh, I've denounced my letters, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I kind of go back to something that she told me a long time ago. She was like, you make the letters don't make you, right? And so whenever something becomes an idol, right, when anything becomes an idol, it doesn't matter if it's a, you know, it could be your obsession with going to the store,
yep,
right? Your obsession with somebody. When anything becomes an idol,
yep,
that lets me know that your priorities are wrong. And I think that's kind of the baseline of how I face it, right? I think there are many things that happen in life that you could twist it or contort it in a way that it is against, you know, what God wants us to do. I think it's highly upon the individual and how they approach it and what they take from it,
yep,
and how they idolize it, what they choose to participate in, what they choose to, you know, just be a part of it. It can get very complicated to an extent, like when people get very intricate and like, oh, you are sacrificing your soul and da da da. Mm-hmm. And it's like,
no.
How mature are you in your faith? right? Are you on milk still, you know?
Yeah.
Or are you like being fed, right? Yeah. Are you being fed to have discernment? Are you being fed to know, you know, right from wrong?
Yeah.
Like, does this control you?
Yeah.
Is this your identity?
Yeah.
Is this your purpose, right? Yeah. You have to answer all those questions. And then, like, if you can be like, no, this is not my identity. No, this is not my purpose. No, I don't idolize this. Okay, cool. Like, you're a part of something, right? That you have a, how do you call it? A spiritual maturity to be a part of.
Yeah.
Now, there may be people out there that just like, you can't handle it. You don't know how to separate. You don't know how to walk this out and participate. And if that's the case, like, that's okay. Like, that's not a knock to you or anything.
Yeah.
But I think when people go through the process of denouncing their letters, you know, feel free to do whatever you want, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's like, what did those letters have over you that, you know, what was it?
Yeah.
What was it, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like,
or what did you give up to have them?
Yeah, what did you give up to have them?
Yeah.
Sometimes I truly, really, I think it's just like a, you need some attention. People go through college, you cross, you are that person, you graduate, and then life, real life is here, and you realize, like, respectfully, nobody care about them letters. You know what I'm saying?
Literally,
like,
the world does not care.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going. And if you look at our counterparts, the MPHC, right? It's not the same, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, that's cool. That's fine, right? But at the same time, you left college and you thought it was going to just, have respect for you the rest of your life. It was going to be you. Like, you still was going to be that guy. You was going to be that girl. Like, whatever, right? Sorry.
News flash.
Like. Yeah. You're not that guy. No,
you're really not. Like,
because it could easily be something else, right? Like,
I was on
football in Mizzou, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was on a team, like, and I have athletes that were friends, and once they left becoming an athlete, they had no identity, right? You didn't make it to the league or whatever. Like, you didn't have an identity, and that sucks. But like, now you have to find yourself, right?
Yep.
At the same time, like, you devoted a lot, like, you believed in football, right? You, or basketball, whatever, like, you believed in ball, like, you sacrificed time, you went through whatever. Was that your idol?
Right.
Did you have to denounce football, denounce basketball?
Right.
That's kind of like the same way I think of it. What is this thing to you?
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think speaking on the idol piece, where it's like, you can even idolize church as in the building. Because I seen that firsthand with my home church during COVID. They ended up closing down for a little bit. And so many members were distraught and lost. And it's like, did you really have a relationship with God? Or did you have a relationship with the building or the leaders of that building?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you idolized coming to church every Sunday, but you never had that true relationship. And same, like you said, with anything in life, it could be a job, it could be a person, it could be anything. And I think a lot of times, like you said, people, they peak in college, and it's almost like they take that, they try to take that into life, and it doesn't work.
For sure.
I tell people all the time, you know, you just got to get a grip. And it's like you, because you join for a reason, you know, everybody has their own reason, but I think whatever you do, you need to remember, you know, why the organization was set up and what was set up to do. Because I look at, you know, when we were set up, you take away all the flashy, pretty stuff, the strolling, the letters, the colors, like all the stuff that we do today. And they were simply just doing the work. They wanted to better the community. And that's why I joined. That's why I don't know why you joined. I'm sure that's why you joined. That's why a lot of people join. But I think a lot of times, and especially now, we have lost the plot and lost the mission.
Yeah.
Where we've allowed different things to come in. We've allowed certain convos to take place, certain people to come through. And we've lost it. So now it's just like the image is tainted. So it's like, okay, all Greeks are you demonic and you worship another God and you're doing this. I worship Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I don't know what y'all worship. I don't know what y'all did. I didn't do that and I'm not going to. So I think, like you said, it's an individual walk. You got to find what works for you. And I tell people all the time, if it's on your heart and spirit to denounce and God told you to do that, you need to listen to God. It doesn't matter what anybody else is saying.
For sure.
But If not, then I think, like you said, like, it's people who are crossing and they're a month in and saying, I can't do this. What do you mean? Like, mm-hmm. you know, it's, and again, I'm not questioning, but it's just like, I don't know. I think, like you said, some of that is for attention, seems like. And I think social media has, like many things in the world, it has done a positive and a negative.
For sure.
To the respected topic.
For sure. So, for sure.
So what advice would you give listeners, specifically young men out there who are trying to find their purpose? Maybe they're trying to become leaders, entrepreneurs, or maybe get involved or whatever they're trying to do. What advice would you give them?
I think one, like, at a certain point in time, like, you're going to just have to do it, right? And what I mean by that is, what I find a lot of times, because there's such an influx of information with, like, social, and just you see so many people, your peers or whatever, like, taking off or doing this or doing that, and it looks so glamorous. I think at a certain point in time, like, you just don't know what you don't know. So, like, right. you have to do it. Like, you don't want to get paralysis by analysis.
Right.
At a certain point in time, like, you just need to do it and then take advantage, like, learn. I think one of the things that I've started this year that has just been missed, ironically, is just, like, listening to podcasts, right? Yeah. Like, I think there's so much free game. I think it's kind of even, I guess, before a digital age, it was like books, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's so much information in there. And so take what you can learn from there. And I think at the same time, like, fast money is not, it's not a reality. It's not a reality. It doesn't happen overnight. It is a building block. And I think that's important to remember, especially really anything, but I think specifically in entrepreneurship, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not going to click tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's not, right? But what you can do and what keeps you motivated is being able to take small steps toward your goal.
Yep.
I think one thing that I learned early on is execution is key.
Yeah.
Like, everyone has ideas. Yeah. Everyone has a dream, a goal. Like, people will rattle off ideas. People will go as far as to write out an idea, write a plan for it. Boom, right? They will go that far.
Yep.
The key is execution. And execution is just like, you got to jump off the porch.
Yep.
Right? Like, and there's not always, sometimes there is a blueprint for exactly how to do it. I think there's also not a blueprint. And I think that's the beauty in it. And I think that's where, like, you have to have faith, you have to have trust, and you have to, you know, be grateful for, like, the many steps that you take towards the bigger vision.
Yeah.
It's not, like, you can see A and Z.
Right.
Right? That's easy. A, I'm here. Z, okay, cool, I can see it over there.
Right.
What's important for you is to see B, C, D, E, F. You know, like, you got to get in there and see it, because those are the stepping stones that take you to the bigger goal. But you cannot skip. There's no helicopter that you're just going to be able to skip. I think sometimes you are blessed to maybe get from A to F.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you get a boost.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're going to have to take some steps. You're not going to be able to get it all in one grab. So that's my biggest step. Like, don't be afraid to try, fail, and then execute. If you say you're going to do something, do it. Right.
Yeah.
Like, be about your word. Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's the same thing. Even if it's not even to the world, even if it's to yourself. Right. Yes. You write it down. You put in effort. OK, do it.
Yes.
Right. Don't be afraid to fail. You're going to learn something from it.
Yeah.
And especially if you're starting out, like, it's good for you to fail, because if you do not, what at least my personal take is, if you do not and you hit it off, the, like, you grand slam, boom, out the park. When something does happen and turbulence does take place, now you're like, oh, like, you're free falling at this point.
Yep.
But if you fail, you like, okay, cool, boom, bounce up. Like, I'm cool, I'm good, I can make it.
Right. And I agree with that. I feel like being younger, I used to fear failure, but going through many failures within the past year or two where it's just like, you know, it's scary, but you got to go through it. You got to go through the process. And a lot of times, I think, especially with social media, my generation, we look at the destination. It's like, oh, well, I want to have what they have. And I want to be on that level. But it's like, you're comparing your A to somebody, like you said, F or Z or wherever they may be.
Right.
And then it's like, you don't know what they did to get that, and you don't know what they're doing to keep it. Exactly. So your path is not their path and vice versa. So what God has for you is for you, and your time is your time. You're never behind. You're never early. You're never late. You're just on time.
Right.
You're just on time.
See, like, you, when you go through a failure, you mentioned going through a failure, like, you're like, dang. Like, you probably, all, I mean, hindsight is always 20/20, but you're like, dang, okay. It probably wasn't as bad as the mental hurdle that it was.
Yeah, agree. And then it's too, like you said, where it's like, you got to jump off the porch. You got to execute, because, you know, we talk about the things, we have the intentions, we have the dreams, but without action, nothing's going to happen.
Right.
You know, and
faith without works is dead.
There you go. And it's like, you're not going to know what you're doing, you know? And it's like, well, nobody before me did it, and nobody, I don't know who to go to for it. So what?
So what? Figure it out.
Figure it out. And over time, you'll get the experience, you'll get the confidence, you'll get better. But you're not going to get that if you just, well, I'm waiting on God, you know?
And you need the figure it out moments, right? Because if you don't have the figure it out moments, what happens is just like, oh, you face this, and like, take this with a grain of salt, because like, oh, you face this, and somebody just immediately like, boom.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Here you go. Here's your next thing, right? Yeah. I feel like when that happens all the time, you miss how to solve a problem. You miss how to maybe research and character and like going through it and like going through a mental process.
I feel like we dropped a lot of gems of hurt. And overall, I just think it's important to know when to ask for help and ask questions too.
For sure.
I feel like that's vital.
Yeah.
So with that, we're going to end the episode here. We dropped a lot of gems for y'all. So if you like it, please like, share, comment, and subscribe. And together, let's change the world one soul at a time. Peace.
Peace.
And so, what, sometimes my mind be all over.
Okay. No, you good. We gone.